You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Weekend Wager with Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Enjoy it while it lasts. Gambling gods, fickle bunch.
Oh, yeah.
So easily offended.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talks.
Here comes the money.
The Weekend Wager with Anita Marks starts now.
What's up? What's up? It is Weekend Wager here on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Enough talk. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports. And we've got a fun show lined up for you. A lot going on this week. And let's be honest, it is week 6 of the NFL season. And there are some dogs that I like, not just, of course, if you know anything about me, I've got quite a few. Not real dogs, like dogs, NFL dogs, NFL dog picks that I really like that we're going to dive into tonight. So we're with you for the next 2 hours, with you until 9 o'clock. You've got, of course, the Dodgers and the Braves game coming your way right here on 98.7 ESPN. So you could stay tuned for that. We'll have some picks for you on the show. I've got three very special guests who are going to be joining us this evening. David Berman, who oversees our chalk site at ESPN, is going to be joining us at 7:30. He's a huge Miami Dolphins fan. Obviously, the Jets taking on the Dolphins. That line, as of what I want to say, like last when I checked it before I went to bed last night, it was like 8.5. When I woke up this morning, it was 10. What does that tell you? No bueno for the Jets. So we're going to dive into the Jets Miami Dolphins matchup. I say lay the points. If you're scared, say you're scared. I'm not scared to lay the points. I'm scared for this Jets team for a number of reasons as to why I think that they're just going to get their butts handed to them this week in Miami. So we will dive into that game, and then we'll talk a little golf. You've got the CJ Cup happening right now. If you watch me on Daily Wager, which airs, shameless plug, not so shameless, Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on ESPN2, Xander Schauffele was my pick to win the CJ Cup. And he's up right now by quite a lot. He's up by 4 or 5 strokes. Last I checked here, let me call that up. Yeah. So he's up by 4 strokes right now. Top of the leaderboard. He's finished through the day. He shot a 64 today, a 66 yesterday. So he's 14 under. Russell Henley is 10 under. Hatton is 10 under. Just to name a few, Morikawa is at 8 under. Fitzpatrick is at 7. So hopefully you took my advice. I will tell you this, not to say that it's easy because it's very time consuming, but I find handicapping golf to me is one of the most fun and simplest, I won't call it easy, but simplest ways to handicap. Why? Well, if you're a golfer, then, you know, obviously, you know, there's certain courses that you play better at. Like, for example, here in town, Upper Montclair Country Club. I've played there several times. That course just kicks my butt. It just does. Like, I'm lucky to shoot a 92 at Upper Montclair, and they've got 3 different 9-hole tracks. It doesn't matter which ones I play. It just kicks my butt. Meanwhile, I'll go out to Liberty National, and you know, I shoot 82, 84. There's something about that track that plays to my game and plays to my strengths that I can't even break 90 at Upper Montclair. Anyway, I'm just sharing my own personal experience and my own personal grief at times when I do tee it up at Upper Montclair. Just to say, you know, everybody's game is different. You know, some guys are better at punting, some guys are better at chipping, some guys are long off the tee, some guys are accurate off the tee, and every golf course has a way of beating it. And because of the metrics and all the statistics that the PGA Tour has, and accessible to anyone and everyone, you can go out and you could do your due diligence and do your own handicapping and know what which golfers, based on the statistics, will perform well on which golf courses. So I've actually, since I've been handicapping golf for the past 2 years, I've actually been quite successful. Yes, I am tooting my horn right now. And so anyway, Shoffley is at the top of the leaderboard. There is no cuts coming tonight. This is all the golfers who have teed up in this thing will play all 4 days, all 4 rounds. So you know, it could get dicey. It could get interesting. Just because Shoffley's up 4 strokes right now doesn't necessarily mean that he is going to win it. But it's a nice start, and I feel pretty good about it. So David Berman's going to join us. We'll talk Miami Dolphins and Jets. That matchup, we'll dive into it. Like I said, that line opened up at 8, 8.5, and then now it's up to 10 for a number of reasons why, and we will dive into that. Joe Fortenbaugh, who is my partner, one of my partners in crime for Daily Wager, is going to join us at 8 o'clock. Loma and Lopez, that fight tomorrow night, a lot of people are calling it the mega fight. He's going to join us. He'll break it down. Hopefully he'll give us some winners, some plays, and how to play that fight. And also he will have some NFL picks for us as well. And Ben Fox is going to join us from VSiN, and he's the VP of Digital Content. And let me tell you something. New Jersey, God bless you. New Jersey is crushing it. Crushing it. New month record. 748.5 million dollars was wagered in New Jersey in September. 748.5 million dollars was wagered in New Jersey in September. Unbelievable. And I love it. So we will dive into as to why, you know, why is New Jersey kicking butt and taking names? And also he's going to have a play in regard to the Dodgers Braves game for you. And we will dive into some NFL as well. So heavy on the NFL tonight. I'm sure nobody's upset about that. We'll have some golf. We'll have some boxing picks for you, some Major League Baseball. We're spanning the globe here on 98.7 ESPN. Giselle's producing the show back in New York City, which I'm pretty thrilled about. I'm in my cozy little back room studio here at home, which I've come to thoroughly enjoy, to be quite frank. And we'll open up the phone lines. 800-919-3776. I always, whenever we do the show, I always love to open up the phone lines. I'm curious, do you have a play heading into this week that you really like? Sell me on it. Sell me on it. And I'll bet it. I mean, God knows. I bet everything. 800-919-3776. 800-919-3776. The phone number, that's how you get on board. Again, it is Weekend Wager. Anita Marks with you. This show brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Enough talk. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Weekend Wager with Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
I mean, nobody's safe, you know. It's a production business, you know, and they, you know, they're trying to win. You know, I mean, it's always, I feel like, you know, it's just always, you got to be on point with everything. So, I mean, it's just one of those things, man, that it can happen to anybody, honestly. So, you just got to make sure it is on point every week and just try to play the best ball that you can. It's what my mindset is.
Avery Williamson of the Jets talking about the release of Bell. What does that do for the morale for the Jets? Because at this stage in the game, that's what it's all about, right? David Berman joins us now on 98.7 ESPN. He oversees our chalk site, all our content for Daily Wager. He's our liaison for the folks in Vegas. He does it all. David, hi. Good evening. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Anita. I guess the first question I'd ask is, the Jets actually have morale?
I know. It's sad. It's a sad state of affairs here. And you know, aren't you and your little fish team lucky that you get them heading into this week where things went from bad to worse? Again, Le'Veon Bell no longer a Jet. Now with the Kansas City Chiefs, everything that I'm reading and I'm hearing is that he's going to start practicing with them next week. He's got to pass, you know, the COVID test and the COVID protocol, yada, yada, yada. But man, the season has just been awful.
you're going to laugh at me, and maybe it's, you know, 30-something plus years of being a Dolphins fan, but I'm actually a little nervous this week. Now, I don't think they're going to lose. The Jets are bad. You just said it. The Jets are very bad, and the entire world is rallying around Miami this week and survivor pools and 8.5 teasers, yada, yada, yada. And that's all I've been hearing. Like, now, the Dolphins are the better team. They should go in there and take care of business. But the fact that everybody is all of a sudden on the Miami Dolphins makes me very, very nervous. That being said, you have to have a good team to be able to upset nervousness, and the Jets don't have that. The Dolphins, if they play anywhere near the way they played against the 49ers last week, should take care of business early, as you noted in this week's Chalk article. But, you know, when everybody's on one side and everybody's against the other side, it just makes you a little unsettled, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I hear you. And a lot of times, you know, if I'm not on a play and I'm seeing that like a ton of public money is flowing on that play, I'll weave, something like that. Just for poops and giggles, because that's typically right. What happens if a ton of money, public money is going on one bet, then a lot of times, you know, it doesn't come through. So I understand your concern, but I know that you're in Bristol, Connecticut. I'm here in New Jersey. I'm telling you, this team, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be
there's
ugly.
There's no statistical or any bias or any logical reason for it. Even if you go back to last week, the Jets were getting 4%, 5%, 6% of the money across all the sports books, and they still got their butts kicked. So all the public was against the Jets last week and the week before, and the trend's going to continue this week. It's just when your team's on the receiving end of that, you start getting a little low. I've gotten random text messages from 5 or 6 people that I haven't heard from in months. Hey, how do you feel about your Dolphins this week in Survivor? I'm going to take them in Survivor. There's a reason why only one person wins in Survivor every year. There's these upsets every single year. This wouldn't be the one because the Dolphins aren't considered an elite team losing to a crappy team. But the fact that they show up in these articles of, hey, this is the week to take this. When have you ever taken the Dolphins in Survivor? Never. No one ever has. People are going to be on it this week. It's a perfect storm of, yes, they're playing well. They probably. I was on a show Sunday night where someone asked me, you know, best game since when the game against San Francisco. And you got to go back to Wildcat game against New England or even further back than that when Marino was playing. They haven't played a top-to-bottom complete game like that in at least a decade. And now rolls in the schedule change and the Jets, who are arguably the worst team in the NFL has seen in years. The last worst team we saw was Cleveland, and Cleveland almost knocked off the Dolphins about 4 years ago when the Dolphins were a double-digit favorite. So you get a little nervous, and that was a team that made the playoffs, the Dolphins, and they almost lost to Cleveland in Week 4 that year. But it shouldn't be a problem. You know the Jets, and the Jets aren't good, and they just traded their, I guess you would call them their best player, but who knows?
No, they're worse than not good. It's really a very sad state of affairs. And I was before we went to a break, I said, when I went to bed last night, this line was at 8.5. When I woke up this morning, it was at 10. And I know that's a big number, you know, double digit number, you know, it's a big number, but you know what? If you're scared, say you're scared. I'm not scared. I think it's going to be a complete blowout.
I really think the Dolphins win. I'm not in the game to lay 10 points with the Miami Dolphins. I'm just not. So I will sit back. I will watch. I will enjoy. I will revel in the fact that we're sending Adam Gase to another loss, but I'm not touching the point spread in that one.
What's the latest on Tua, by the way? I mean, let's just, hypothetically speaking, let's just say this is a blowout. Does Tua come in for the fourth quarter? I mean, what has he been active? Like, give us an update on Tua.
Tua has been active all season long. He's been the backup quarterback. The Dolphins had as big of a blowout as you're going to see all year last week in San Francisco, and they still didn't put Tua in. I mean, the Dolphins were up by 26 in the fourth quarter. It's up to the coaches to see when he's ready, and they're not in this to just have Tua go out there and do a handoff and a kneel. That's not what they want from Tua, which everyone was screaming for last week. Hey, you're up 3 touchdowns, put 2 in just to get some NFL action. They're not going to put him in just so we can hand the ball off. They're going to put him in when it's reasonable that they can use him. And as of now, what the coaches are saying, again, we're not in practice we're not around them to know what's going on. But according to the coaches, he's not ready. And if he is not ready, whether that means physically with his hip, whether that means playbook-wise, whatever it is, I trust the coaching staff because I don't want the franchise in there if he's not ready. And they're in a transition year where they're just the goal is not the playoffs. They make the playoffs. That's a bonus, and they played well last week. The schedule sets up a little nice for the next couple of weeks. If they're in a transition year, then you don't need to bother with him until the time is right. And, you know, you saw what Fitzmagic did last week. He looked awesome. The week before, he looked terrible, and everybody was asking for Tua. But Tua wasn't ready. And if he's not ready, I don't want him in there. Now, when the coaching staff thinks he's ready, then I'd put him in there. But as of now, I wouldn't worry about it. He's there in case of an emergency. If Fitzpatrick gets hurt, Tua's going to be in there. He's the backup quarterback. I just don't think he's game ready yet. And, you know, I don't think Cincinnati wants Burrow to be in there. And I don't think Los Angeles wants Herbert to be in there. But they have to because of their own situations. The Dolphins are blessed with having Ryan Fitzpatrick as a veteran in what is a transition year. And they don't need to go to Tua right now. Their goal isn't, I mean, everybody's goal is to win the Super Bowl. But realistically speaking, this isn't Tua time yet. It will be, but not yet.
So again, David Berman joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. He's staying away from the Jets-Miami game. I am all over it. I think it's going to be a bloodbath, so I don't mind laying the 10. We're talking about rookie quarterbacks who, by the way, I know whenever I tweet this, I know your skin crawls, but and you and I have had this conversation. I think, and just for folks that are listening, you might not know this about me, but well, maybe you do. I'm from Miami, born and raised. Grew up going to the Orange Bowl, watching Dan Marino throw passes to Duper and Clayton.
We were there together.
You know, I mean, you know, watching Flipper do flips in the pool every time Danny threw a touchdown. I mean, but I really let me preface by saying I don't know what kind of quarterback Tua is going to be. I think that he's going to be an excellent quarterback. My concern is his health issues, and will he stay healthy for the longevity of his career with the Miami Dolphins? Just FYI, that's where my concern is. But Justin Herbert has come off, man, he lit up the Saints, 4 touchdown passes against the Saints, 3 against the Bucks, 4 games, almost 1,200 passing yards, 9 touchdowns, a 107 QB rating, 70% completion percentage. And here's another thing. His schedule gets a lot easier now, David. The Jaguars, Denver twice, the Jets, the Falcons. You could get Justin Herbert, offensive rookie of the year, for plus money right now at plus 125. I'm telling you, jump on this now because it won't be plus after this week. It just won't.
I give you all the credit in the world. You were on Justin Herbert before the draft. You were telling me before the draft that the Dolphins should get Herbert over too. And we have gone back and forth on this, and we're still going to be, you know, disagreeing on it. And I think they're both fantastic quarterbacks. And I actually like both of them more than I liked Burrow the year before. But, of course, Burrow put together one of the greatest seasons of all time and jumped right up to the top. To me, the verdict is out. It is not out. You know, you don't know Tua because you haven't seen it. I give you credit for being all over Herbert, and he's played fantastic, and he's actually done better than I thought he would do. But there's no jury yet for this one because Tua hasn't played. Your injury concerns are completely valid. I just think at the end of the day, if we're having this conversation a decade from now, I'm going to be on the winning side of this one. Well, at least I hope I am.
Before I let you go, and you know, I'm burying the lead here. I wanted to bring you on to talk golf. The CJ Cup is happening right now on the left coast. I'm going to toot my own horn here as well.
I was
on Daily Wager with my pick, Xander Schauffele, and right now he's kicking butt and taking names. Now there's no cuts here. You know, all these dudes play all 4 days. He's got a 4-shot lead right now heading into Saturday. Doesn't necessarily mean, I'm not saying like it's not a slam dunk that he's going to win this thing, but he is playing well. 64 today, 66 on Thursday. Which, by the way, again, this is Week in Wager brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Enough talk. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports. I'm calling up the lines right now, and you could bet on BetMGM Schauffele to win this at minus 125. What was the line for in the article? Was it I'm trying to remember. Was it 12 to 1, 10 to 1?
I think he was like 11 or 12 to 1. You and the Bear, both of you, both were on Shoffley. Mad props. I heard you guys say it on Daily Wager in the article. You're going to make the article do fantastic. I guess when you go to that well so often and you've picked Xander Shoffley probably a dozen times since I've known you, at some point he's got to show up and win. And he's doing just that. And I think you're on the right side of this one. I hope you put your entire worth on it because he has a 4-shot lead. I didn't get into the column this week, but I will have to admit that in a pool I'm in, I took Matthew Wolf day late, dollars short. Where if we get any points for finishing dead last in the tournament, maybe I'll get some points my way. But he's plus 9 right now. Again, it's a non-cut event, so he has only to go up. But your pick was a solid one this week. Give you props to that.
You know, and unfortunately, because it's on the left coast, you know, there's no odds out right now in regard to, you know, guys that can finish, let's say, in the top 5, top 10, top 20. But you know, here's some guys going in that I really like. Justin Thomas. Here's an interesting stat for you. Justin Thomas is one of the best golfers during the fall season. He's got 13 tour wins during the fall. He just plays well in those type of temperatures. So that's a guy that I would once, you know, if you want to go online to BetMGM and check out their lines, maybe later on tonight or early tomorrow morning, that's a guy that I would put money on to finish in the top 5, maybe top 10. Jason Day as well. Fitzpatrick. Rahm, obviously. I'm surprised that Koepka's there. In the article I mentioned, I was going to fade Koepka. We're a month away from the Masters. And so Koepka typically uses these tournaments just to like tweak stuff. So I'm really surprised that he's playing so well. Neiman is another guy that I like.
He's still a whole bunch back, and he's not someone I would think would win this week, but he could finish in the top 5 or top 10. And I think the only worry you have with Xander is his inability to finish and the fact that, you know, our boy Hatton is right there, 4 shots back, playing as well as anybody right now. Morikawa is right there. I do like Fitzpatrick to finish in the top 5. He's had 2 solid rounds. You mentioned Thomas. Keep an eye out on Matsuyama, who's only a couple outside the top 10. Sergio has been playing well, even though I can't consciously put any money on Sergio. And Victor Hovland's another name that I would monitor. I had him a little bit in the top 20 this week.
Okay. Well, David, again, I so appreciate your time as always. It's great when you pop on with us. So good luck this week, and we'll see what happens in that Miami Jets game.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully it's just a Dolphins win. And, you know, if you're right and they win easily, then it'll make for a good second half of relaxing. But, you know, like last week, I don't remember the last time I was so relaxed in the fourth quarter of a Dolphins game. So that was fun.
All right. Well, you have a great weekend, my friend. Take care.
You too. See ya.
You got it. Make sure you follow him on social media, David Berman, overseeing our chalk site. There's some prop bets that I like in that game as well. Like, for example, I think the Jets are going to be playing from behind. So I like the over in Crowder's receptions and yards. I think Miles Gaskin, the running back for the Miami Dolphins, I think he runs all over the Jets. So I like the over in rushing yards for him.
This is the Weekend Wager with Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN. This is the Weekend Wager with Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Not sure if you heard the fella. His voice was kind of low. This is Weekend Wager, brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Enough talk. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports. Without further ado, how appropriate. Wagering show. We take you to Las Vegas. And one of my partners in crime in regard to Daily Wager, hopefully you watch it Monday through Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. on ESPN2. And that is Joe Fortenball, joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. Joe, nice jacket tonight, dude. Nice job,
Yo,
man.
You look responsible for playing Tweezer Reprise. That's fantastic. You know I'm a fish fan. You give me Tweezer Reprise as the intro, Anita. That's not you. You don't get credit for that. Who's responsible for that?
Giselle's our producer. Giselle.
Oh
yeah,
my
that was
god.
Me.
Oh my god.
Just, you know, Giselle. Yeah, those me.
We somehow just stumble into like some rare radio lucky magic there.
No, I think if you recall when we started the show last year. You were on quite frequently, and I remember, if you recall, I asked you, you know, what would you like your segment music to be. And I believe just so, I think we still have it. And like you got this out of our Weekend Wager file, right?
Yeah, I did.
This is your walk up music, Joe. This is your walk up music, dude.
That is elite producing right there. Elite producing, which now puts me in a tight spot because if the producer's firing and I know Anita's firing, that means I better bring it or I'm going to end up getting run off this show. So I'm ready. Be gentle with your questions as always, but I am ready to answer.
You're so cute. All right, let's kick it off with what's going on. I mean, the mega fight that's going on, Loma and Lopez. I you know, again, folks who don't know, Daily Wager, it's a gambling show. It's on ESPN 2 every night, Monday through Friday, from 6 to 7 p.m. and then Sunday leading into NFL football from 9 to 10 a.m. And so Joe and I were both on tonight, and we had a lot of content in regard to this fight. So I kind of have an idea of where you want to go. What's your best bet that folks listening to this show, what's your best bet that folks can lay on this fight tomorrow night?
All right. So there's three fights I'm playing for Saturday night. By the way, this fight's 100% free. Lomachenko should not be fighting for free, but he's fighting for free. The entire card's going to be on ESPN starting at 7:30 because college football's card is so light because of COVID and everything else. So this is a very rare treat. And if you're a fringe boxing fan or not a boxing fan, this is an opportunity to see one of the best in the world go up against a guy very few people know, but they're going to know him after this fight. So Teofimo Lopez is about 23 years old. He's been chasing Loma for 2 years, scouting this guy. He and his father talking, scouting, watching. They wanted this guy for a while. They put a heck of a plan together. There's a big backstory as to this incident in a hotel. The father felt disrespected. Loma said this. Teofimo Lopez Sr. said this. Whatever. It doesn't matter. The fact is it built the hype up. And Loma didn't give these guys the time of day until about a year ago when he said, if you want to fight, you better bring something to the table. Go win a belt. So Lopez went out and won a belt. He knocked out Richard Comey last year in the second round. This kid is nasty, okay? He's got a height advantage. He's got the reach advantage. He's got knockout power with one punch. He's got excellent timing. He is a very formidable foe for Lomachenko. Now, Lomachenko might be the best to do it right now at pound for pound, but we haven't seen him in 14 months. He's 32 years old. He's only got 15 professional fights. So you may say, oh, all right, he doesn't have a whole lot of wear on the legs. He fought almost 400 times as an amateur. He's got 2 gold medals fighting for Ukraine, I believe. So this guy's got plenty of wear on his legs. He's an incredible fighter. If it gets into the deep waters the later rounds, he has a huge edge. So I think Lopez is going for the knockout. My favorite bet of all is that this fight will not go the distance. Yesterday, that was plus 120. It's now down to plus 110. Okay, so that's where the money's moving. That's my favorite fight, that it won't go the distance. Lopez is going for the knockout. He either gets it or he gets caught going for it. Either way, it's not going to go the distance. I'm also playing Lopez to win the fight any way necessary, plus 330. And then I'm playing him to win by stoppage, KO, TKO, or DQ, 5-1. So I'm going to be heavy on Lopez tomorrow.
You love this man crush? What, I mean, you're all over this guy. You love him.
He's got a lot of charisma. That's what's big about boxing. Like, you need the guys who bring some flash and some style, not just to what they do in the ring, but outside of it as well. He's a fast talker. He's very athletic. When he wins fights, he does the Fortnite dance, and then he does these backflips. The kid's a great athlete, and he's a great talker. Boxing needs more of this, and it's a perfect opponent in Lomachenko because he's this quiet, robotic assassin who's just been fantastic. And the fact that he didn't run from this fight, everyone's wanted this fight. They made the fight. None of the typical boxing shenanigans. It's 100% free, like I said. You can't get any better than this. I'm a huge title fight fan. The first time I lived in Vegas, I covered as many as I could. There's nothing like fight night in Vegas. I know this is inside the bubble, so you're not going to have any fans, but I really wish I was down there, Anita. Fight night's some of the best live sports you can possibly take in. You go have dinner, you get dressed up, you're drinking, you're smoking cigars. Nothing beats it.
Yeah, so, you know, growing up in Miami, you know, Don King was just a few miles up the road in Deerfield Beach. That's where his offices were, and so when I was hosting Sports Talk Radio down in Miami, he would come into my studio all the time, and then he would invite me to junkets. So I, you know, on Don's dime, I'd fly to Vegas. I'd do shows out there. I went to a number of, you know, Roy Jones Jr. I mean, I've been to a ton of boxing, and you're right. I mean, it's one of the best events. It's so fun.
Why are you going to one-up me like that? I come on the show, I say I like going to fight night, and then you're like, well, not only do I like doing it, I'm on Don King's dime. And it's like, all right, well, what else do I have here? I got no pizzazz, I got no style if you're going to one-up me like that.
I'll go even one step further with you. You ready? You ready for this?
Yes,
Lennox Lewis was my pool partner every Thursday night at a club on South Beach called Lost Weekend. And the pool tournament would start at 11 o'clock at night, and it would go until 7 o'clock in the morning. And I would meet him there every Thursday night, and we were pool partners, and we would destroy people.
That is incredible. I would love to see a picture of the two of you next to each other, because he is not small, Anita. He is not a small man.
No, he's not small.
He's a monster.
He's a monster, but I was mesmerized by his accent. I mean, it was just like, I can't even do it. Like, give me like an English, give me an English accent. Give me like
I don't know if I can do it. I would say this.
I can't do it, right?
When they're doing it, it just comes across as like so much more intelligent than what I'm saying. So I sit there and it's like, I would never want to debate an Englishman just because it comes up with such polish. Like the way they spell behavior or souvenir, like there's always an extra U in every word. It intimidates me. It's like, why are you using all these extra U's? I don't use these extra U's in America. Should I be using more U's in my words? I don't know what's going on. So it's very intimidating. Very intimidating.
You're so funny. Anyway, so great stuff. Obviously, you're all over Lopez. Hopefully, you've given our listeners a ton of winners, of winning plays while they're watching the free fight. How exciting is that? When was the last time a fight was free? I mean, especially a fight is... Exactly. I mean, you've got me all pumped up for it. I'm going to be watching it tomorrow night while I'm sitting at home preparing for our Daily Wager show that airs every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Before I let you go, talking about some football, getting folks ready for Sunday morning, you've got some NFL picks. What I like to do on the shows is I open up the phone lines and I have our listeners call in and I tell them, sell me on a play. What's your play? I could sit here for 2 hours, BetMGM. I go through the lines. I'll tell you the plays. So I want our listeners to sell me on a play. And a dude called in and tried to sell me on the 49ers. And I know that's one of your plays. So why don't you tell me why you like the 49ers +3. Will you take them at +3 right now? Will you take them at +3 or will you have to have the hook?
All right, let's start with this. If there's a play I love, I like Tampa Bay a lot this weekend. But since you are on the other side and we discussed this on Daily Wager this week, I'll just leave it at that. Anita likes Green Bay. I like Tampa Bay. We'll have a bottle of wine on it, something like that. We'll figure it out later. If I'm going to sell you on a play, the Niners are going to be one of them. There's a lot of ugly teams I like this weekend. I like Washington getting points. The Giants shouldn't be laying points to anyone. I don't care how bad some of these teams are. That's number one. I like Houston +3.5, and I also like the Niners, and I wanted it 3.5. And I think it's at some places still maybe enough public money will come in on Sunday that those 3.5s will pop back up. But I think the sharp guys are going to be on the Niners. This is just setting up as pros versus Joes. The Rams are 4-1. They've looked very good. Every time we see them, specifically last week, which is freshest in our mind, they went to Washington, and they dominated the Washington football team. And here's the Niners getting blown out by Miami last week in embarrassing fashion as a huge favorite. So the public's going to look at that and think the Niners stink, and they're going to think the Rams are awesome. The Rams are very, very good. But as I believe you've pointed out before, and so is Doug on the show, the four victories of the Rams are all teams from the NFC East. So I want to make sure they get their due credit because I really like them. But how great are they? This is a team that they went to and from the East Coast, week two against Philly, week three against Buffalo. Then they came home after all that travel and laid an egg against the Giants. They had to scrape by in that game. Then they go back to the East Coast for a third time in 4 weeks to play Washington. Now they come home. Then they're going to go to San Francisco. Not a tough travel trip up north to San Francisco, but the thing is, all that travel to the East Coast could catch up with them. Now you've got a Niner team who's coming up this embarrassing loss to Miami. You know they're going to have a good week of practice. They've got a good leadership group. McVay's team has had trouble defending tight ends. George Kittle should have a field day against these guys. And to be completely honest with you, the Niners had a lot of success against the Rams last year. Blew them out in Los Angeles early in the season. And then the second game, the Rams had the lead late, and Garoppolo led them down the field with, I think it was, two huge third down conversions. So Shanahan's got one up on McVay over the last year. I'll take the 3.5 with the Niners. Very, very ugly, but I like those contrarian plays.
And last but not least, before we let you go, Joe, you're on the Texans as well. The Texans going up against Tennessee. Boy, did they look good against the Buffalo Bills, man.
Exactly. So they look really good. So that's the image in everyone's mind. They're going to want to lay the points with Tennessee. They're fantastic. They're undefeated. And here's the Houston Texans. They stink. They fired their head coach. It's so easy, so obvious. Everyone's going to play Tennessee. Well, maybe, but I'm going to take the Texans if I can get the 3.5. Houston started the season with the worst possible schedule on earth. They're at Kansas City, hosting Baltimore, and then at Pittsburgh. How many teams are going to navigate that schedule well? Okay, so let's not bury them for that. Now, they also lost that fourth game to Minnesota. O'Brien gets fired. They go out and they beat the Jaguars. So they at least have a little bit of something going right now, right? If they had fired O'Brien and lost to the Jags, season over. But they go ahead, they win that game. They got a divisional rival coming up who's undefeated. They'd probably like to pop him in the mouth, to be honest with you. And here's Tennessee on a short week, and not a Monday short week. They played on Tuesday, the very rare Tuesday game. So this is a very quick turnaround. Remember something with Tennessee. They're 4-0, but they got three wins against, I think it's Denver, Jacksonville, and Minnesota by a combined total of 6 points. That's a recipe for disaster when we're talking about potential regression. They're winning, but they're winning very close one-score games, and eventually the bottom is going to fall out on that. Maybe it happens this week. Maybe it doesn't. I'm going to be on Houston plus 3.5.
Love it. Love it. All right. So just to sum it up, Joe Fortenbaugh, who's joining us from Vegas. He's all over Lopez. Won't go the distance. We'll win and will be a stoppage. And then he likes the Texans plus 3.5, the 49ers plus 3.5, and he's got the Bucks as a pick 'em. The Bucks are actually getting a point right now on BetMGM, by the way. So
yeah.
I love Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers, he's making chicken salad out of chicken poop. I just can't with this guy. He's unbelievable, and he's the better quarterback. So.
Well, let's
a bottle of wine, right?
And if I'm right, I'll come back on and I'll gloat. And if I'm wrong, you'll never hear from me again.
Hey, just wear that jacket tomorrow night, wherever you're going to be watching this fight. You're smoking tonight on the show. You look good, Joe. Take care.
Everybody else was making fun of the jacket. It's a white jacket. It's a very dangerous jacket to wear. It's already back inside a Bloomingdale's bag, hanging, being protected in the closet. I'm looking at the bag right now. I probably won't bring that thing out for a while, but it's nice to work with someone who pays a compliment every now and again versus the Neanderthals that we work with who are always making their jokes.
You take care. You have a great weekend. I'll see you Sunday. You got it.
This is the Weekend Wager with Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Anita Marks with you here on 98.7 ESPN. Again, this is Weekend Wager brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Enough talk. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports. Without further ado, Ben Falks joins us here. He's VP of Digital Content at VSiN. Ben, welcome in. Nice to finally have you on the show, my friend. How you doing?
Thanks for having me, my friend. That's good. I'm sitting outside. It's 80 degrees. You know, finally made it to Friday. It's a good week.
Rub it in. By the way, how great is this show that we take you even back to Vegas yet again? I'm so jealous. All right. So, let's. I know you're in Vegas. I'm here in Jersey. New Jersey is kicking butt and taking names in the gambling world, Ben. First and foremost, before we dive into, I ask you questions about the numbers that New Jersey's been putting up, but why don't you share with our listeners exactly what we're talking about?
Yeah, so basically every month they report the handle and revenue for sports betting on a state-by-state basis. And New Jersey, as you said, has been kicking butt and taking names. It's such a unique time in obviously the world and in sports. And So in September 2020, New Jersey set a record with $748.5 million wagered, which is an incredible number. And then that was yesterday. Today, Pennsylvania set their state record with $462 million wagered. So that's over $1 billion wagered just in Pennsylvania and New Jersey in September 2020. I think especially in New Jersey, interesting that 90% of those bets are mobile, right? So we talk about all the time the importance of mobile betting. But, you know, it's a pandemic. People are at home. People want to be able to bet conveniently, bet on their phones, bet on the internet. And we're certainly seeing that come to fruition in New Jersey and other states.
But isn't it interesting, Ben? I mean, listen, we are in a pandemic. Unemployment rate is through the roof. You know, it hasn't been this bad in years. But yet, gambling is at an all time high. It's wild. It really is. But you know, at the same time, and I think you make an excellent point. You know, everybody's home. You know, it's never been easier. You know, BetMGM, you download the app, go on the computer. You know, there's a lot of different sites that you can use. And there's never been a time that I can recall that, like, I'm sitting here, I'm hosting the show, I'm watching the Astros and the Rays, right? You've got the Dodgers in Atlanta that are following this show. We just, you know, the Lakers just won the championship. We've got football. I mean, it's just like it's like a buffet when it comes right. to the sports that are exactly. out there right now and everything we could wager on.
No, and September, like you said, was that. I mean, certainly, you know, run digital content and it was overwhelming, right? You're trying to figure out betting guides for all this stuff and. I think I had written down in September, you had the NFL, you had college football, you had the NHL with the playoffs and the Stanley Cup, you had the NBA playoffs and NBA finals starting in October, and then you had the U.S. Open in golf and tennis, and the French Open starting as well in September. So just a ton to bet on, and like you said, New Jersey now holds the record for the top 2 months, September, $748.5 million, and the previous record was in August, which was $668 million. So plenty of betting going around, and certainly it's interesting to see, as you said, what people are wagering on and how much they're wagering on it.
Ben Falks joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. As I said, we've got the Dodgers and the Braves that are following this show. Do you have a play for folks in that matchup heading into tonight's game?
Yeah, so I am leaning Dodgers, also, though, mostly because of my heart. I had the Dodgers series price, -220 before the series. Saw them go down 2-0. Talked to a bunch of people who said, hey, the Braves really have two good pitchers. They already pitched them. So I took the Dodgers series price again at plus about 190, 195 when they were down 0-2. They're not looking too great right now, down 3-1. Dustin May, though, was lights out. I know he gave up, I think, a run in the previous game, but he's just got terrific stuff. And I think the bullpen game for Atlanta, they're really looking towards game 6 and 7 as much as the team is going to. And so even though the Dodgers are a pretty big favorite in this game, I think I'd still lean towards them at least getting one back here and taking it to game 6.
You know, really interesting. There were quite a few people that I had on my show that felt like Atlanta was really good, a really good sleeper pick heading into this matchup against the Dodgers. So very, I'm kind of shooting myself right now. I wish I would have jumped on that and I did not. But right now, again, I'm watching this the Rays Astros game. Astros are up 5-1, bottom of the sixth, two runs on. One out. You know, this is a Rays team that obviously they upset the Yankees. Yankees coming in with a, you know, payroll that, you know, can buy a village against the Rays that, you know, a payroll that you're lucky to buy a, you know, I don't know, a cheeseburger. You know, this I really like this Rays team right now, and I'm trying to call up right now what the futures I don't see any futures bets right now in regard to, do you have that in front of you? Like, you know, if you wanted to wager for the Rays to win the World Series right now, what would that be?
I don't have it in front of me. I'll try.
Yeah, I don't. I'm looking for it. I don't have it. I don't have it in front of me.
The Rays were the favorite a couple days ago, and that was obviously due to their lead, and due to the fact that the Dodgers were behind. And you know, the Rays are an interesting team for sure. I actually bet the Astros in Game One and lost, and then bet the Astros in Game Two and lost, and said, "All right, I'm done with this series." And as so happens in sports betting, they don't win the times you bet on them, they do the other times. But the Rays are fascinating, and certainly I think we've seen, especially this postseason, how important, you know, pitching is always important the postseason. But especially this postseason, and you know, sadly, I'm a Twins fan. We saw with the Twins pitching was great, the hitting wasn't great, and they're just pitching is so important, and the Rays really have it, and they also have a great manager. So we'll see. Right now, it's looking like it could be going to a Game 7, and that's going to be a sticky situation for them if it does.
All right. Before we let you go, let's dive into some NFL. And very interesting. So you sent me three picks that you like, and two of the picks are opposite of what I like. So those are the two games I want to focus in on, because I'm really curious as to why you're on that side of the coin. So let's start with the Pittsburgh Steelers, -3.5 against the Cleveland Browns. Why do you like the Steelers this week?
So I will comfort you by saying that I am not a respected sharp bettor, and the respected money has come in early on the Browns. So this line has come down from Pittsburgh -4.5 or -5 to -3.5. Mostly with the Browns, I just think they're not a very good 4-1 team. They're one of the worst 4-1 teams that Football Outsiders has measured since 1987 by DVOA. So I think I think they're also missing a guard. And then we're not really sure with the injuries to Baker Mayfield, OBJ, and I believe Jarvis Landry is questionable too. I think Greedy Williams is still out in the secondary. And the Steelers, while I don't think they've been incredibly impressive, they just kind of are a machine that keeps, you know, churning out victories and for the most part churning out covers. But they're 10th in DVOA for Football Outsiders, Cleveland 17th. And they're also 5th in It's 5th in opponents' yards per play. And I think that is also their defense is just phenomenal. I think that if the Browns can't run, it's going to be trouble for Baker Mayfield. And so, you know, you don't necessarily like the three in the hook, but I think Pittsburgh has one of those grinded out games, a fairly low scoring game, and they cover that one against the Browns.
Interesting. I'm leaning on Cleveland just because I really love their offensive line, and I think this is going to be one in the trenches. I think they're going to be able to run against Pittsburgh because of that offensive line. And even though Pittsburgh has been like thoroughly impressive, you got to look at the opponents that they face. So I just think this is going to be a very competitive game. And right now, you know, you can get Cleveland +3.5. And I kind of like that hook, especially division rival. I think at the end of the day, I think it's going to be a really entertaining game. I think it's going to be an entertaining matchup. But I'm leaning more towards Cleveland. And then you're on Dallas +1 against the Arizona Cardinals. It's Andy Dalton. I will say that again. It is Andy Dalton. Ben, why are you on the Dallas Cowboys? It is Andy Dalton.
It is Andy Dalton. For better or worse, I have always been a little higher probably on Andy Dalton than the general public. I think people quickly forget, obviously it was many years ago, where he was a potential MVP candidate and the Bengals could have probably gone farther in the playoffs before he broke his thumb trying to tackle someone off of an interception. Now, yes, it was off an interception, so there is certainly some of a joke there. I just think that offense is kind of like a nice car, and you really need somebody who's just not going to crash it. And I think Andy Dalton can do that. They have three outstanding wide receivers. You have Zeke Elliott. Obviously, they are missing the offensive tackles on either end, and that is a bit concerning. But I just haven't been that impressed with the Cardinals. I watched most of that game against the Jets, and even though the score was 30-10, I think that belied kind of the actual game. They really struggled for the most part against really a putrid Jets team that hasn't covered a game yet this season. So I think at home, a home dog, we've seen this number move a little bit in Dallas's favor. So I think people don't remember how, shall we say, average to above average Andy Dalton is. He's not Dak Prescott, but I don't think he needs to be. And I think if they run the ball a little more as well, that will help the defense stay off the field. Some of the Dallas's issues where they're throwing the ball so much, they go three and out in 20 seconds, the defense is back on the field. So I think that's part of the issue. And if they get Leighton Vander Esch back from injury, that'll also be a big bonus.
Interesting. Interesting. We're both two bottles of wine, my friend, on both these games. I get Cleveland plus 3.5, and I'll take the Cardinals minus 1 because, again, it is Andy Dalton. Ben, thank you so much for joining us this evening. I appreciate it. Enjoy the sun and the warmth out there in Vegas.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. You got it.
This is the Weekend Wager with Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.